there are words for him, then I don't have them. You see, my brain has not yet reached a point where it could form a thought that could adequately describe the greatness of my God. My lungs have not yet developed the ability to release a breath with enough agility to breathe out the greatness of his love in my voice. You see, my voice is so inhibited, restrained by human limits, that it's hard to even send a praise up. If there are words for him, then I don't have them. My God, his grace is remarkable. Mercies are innumerable. Strength is impenetrable. He is honorable, accountable, favorable. He's unsearchable yet knowable, indefinable yet approachable, indescribable yet personal. He's beyond comprehension, further than imagination. He's constant through generations, the king of every nation. But if there are words for him, then I don't have them. You see, my words are few, and to try and capture the one true God using my vocabulary would never do. But I use words as an expression of worship to a Savior who's both worthy and deserving of my praise. So I use words. My heart extols the Lord. Blesses his name forever, for he has won my heart and captured my mind, and he has bound them both together. He's defeated me in my rebellion, conquered me in my sin, and he's welcomed me into his presence, completely invited me in, and he has made himself the object of my sight, flooding me with mercies in the morning, drowning me with grace in the night. But if there are words for him, then I don't have them. But what I do have is good news. For my God knew that man-made words would never do. For words are just tools that we use to point to the truth. So he sent his son, Jesus Christ, as the word, living proof. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn among all creation. For by him all things were created, giving nothingness formation. And by his word he sustains in the power of his name. For he is before all things, and over all things he reigns. Holy is his name. And so we praise him for his life, the way that he persevered in strife, the humble Son of God becoming the perfect sacrifice. And we praise him for his death, that he willingly stood in our place, that he lovingly endured the grave, and that he battled our enemy. And on the third day he rose in victory. And we praise him because he rose. Hallelujah, he rose. He is everything that was promised, and we praise him as a risen king, and we lift our voice and sing, for one day he will return for us, and we will finally be united with our Savior for eternity. So it's not just words that I proclaim, for my words point to the word, and the word has a name. Hope has a name. Joy has a name. Peace has a name. Love has a name, and that name is Jesus Christ, and we'll praise his name forever.
morning, church. How are you doing? He is risen. Welcome. We were so excited that you're here today. What a wonderful day to celebrate the resurrection of Christ. Thank you so much for coming. We would like to welcome you. So those who are here for the first time, also at Hannaford, we would like you to notice our card in front of you here. And we would like to get to know you if this is the first time. So welcome center this time is on the back. So after the service, if you would like to fill out, we would like to get to know you. Also, if you brought your tithe and offerings, we're going to do a little bit different today in this celebration. So our box is in the back, so you can do your offering, your tithing in the back. Pastor John is pointing out there by the truck. But we're very excited that you are here. So we have a lot of things going on that we're so excited. And how about right now we just get up and greet each other, say happy Easter, say hello, introduce yourself. Let's do that now. Thank you so much for coming.
All right. If you would find your seats. If you would find your seats, you may have a seat, please. We would like to wish you a happy Easter, and as part of our Easter celebration this year, we're having a baby dedication. And so if Grant and Carissa and Amelia would come. They're coming right here. And I'm going to tell you just a little bit of Amelia's story. We're here to celebrate the resurrection and life that we can have in Jesus Christ. And every birth is a miracle. But Amelia's birth is even a little more of a miraculous miracle because she was born at 1 pound, 14 ounces. And but God is good. She is growing and getting stronger every day. And so I know many of us as a Hannaford family have been praying for Amelia and for her mom and dad. And it's a special celebration. I know you have relatives here with you today, and we'd like to welcome them. And we just want to, a baby dedication is an opportunity for a mom and a dad to just commit to being the parents that God has called them to be. It's really, it's more for mom and dad than it is for the baby. But yet it's a desire to raise Amelia up to honor God. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, it says that these things first should be in your own heart, and then you need to teach them to your children. So when you go on your way, when you're in your house, wherever you're at, and I know that you, as a family, desire to see Amelia grow up, to know and to honor God. And we as a church family want to stand with you and to pray that God would bless you and encourage you and strengthen you with the wonderful opportunity and responsibility of raising Amelia. So as a sign of solidarity with Grant and Carissa, we'd like you to stand with us, and let's pray for God's blessing and God's strength for them as parents as they raise Amelia. Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful for your goodness, and we thank you for the gift of life and the amazing gift of Amelia, and I pray that you would just continue to help her grow stronger each and every day. Lord, I pray for Grant and Carissa that you would just encourage them, that you would just help them as parents, that you would just give them strength and wisdom and guidance. Lord, that you would just watch over them, and that you would watch over Amelia, that as she grows stronger and physically, Lord, that she would also grow stronger in a relationship with you. Lord, give them as parents wisdom and guidance in every situation as they raise Amelia. We pray for your blessing and your strength in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give them a hand. All right, and we have a card and also a flower. Thank you so much. It's an honor to be a part, and we'll be praying for you and for Amelia. Thank you. You may.
You guys can stay standing, please, because we're going to continue to worship our risen Savior this morning as we sing Christ the Lord is risen today. Amen. Let's sing this together. Death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? Now the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's put our hands together.
Christ the Lord is risen today. Alleluia. Sons of men. Thank you.
praise today. Lord Jesus, we praise you. And we say amen. He lives. He's risen, church. Let's celebrate that.
I believe in the Son. I believe in the risen one. I believe I overcome by the power of his love.
Sing amen. Why don't you guys be seated for just a second? I want to introduce a good friend of mine. He is one of my best friends. His name is Marvin Mace. He's going to tell you a little bit about his story. Let's give him a hand this morning.
It's because he lives, isn't it? He is risen today. Good morning, everyone. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Marvin Mace. I'm a worship drummer at Hunter Street Bible Church. I'm also involved in other ministries there as well. I want to share with you my life since I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I also want to share with you a little bit about who I was before I was saved. I grew up in Missoula, Montana, and at a very young age, I became involved with drugs and alcohol. Maybe some of you can relate to that. Both of my parents drank a lot, so the apple didn't fall far from the tree. We didn't go to church growing up, and I didn't know anything about God or Jesus. I did whatever I wanted. I had very little supervision because my parents worked nights. I wasn't a very nice person. I did things I'm not proud of, and I'm sorry for that. I was always in trouble. As time went by in my 20s, I moved to Helena, where I occasionally went to church and eventually gave my life to Christ in 1978. I was baptized in Hauser Lake, and I went off to Bible college in Minnesota. It wasn't long before I began struggling and feeling like I didn't fit in there. I was frustrated and eventually went back to my old ways of drugs and alcohol. I moved back to Helena again, where I met my future wife and got married in 1982, and we had our daughter 2 years later. But I still had a problem with drugs and alcohol. Seriously, I don't know how my wife ever put up with me. I wasn't a very good husband, and when you're on that stuff, you say and do things that you wouldn't normally do or say. It was in 1998 when I finally hit rock bottom. My life was a mess, my marriage was on the line, and I was very close to losing everything. I realized I had a serious drinking problem. I tried AA, and unfortunately, it didn't work for me. I knew something had to change. I was in a very bad place and running out of options. I remember falling down on my knees and crying out to God. I said, "Jesus, I need your help. I know I've done things I'm not proud of, and I'm sorry for that. I know you're a God of mercy, and I don't deserve your grace. I believe you died so that my sins could be forgiven. Will you give me the power, the wisdom, and the strength to live for you the rest of my days? And God, please rid me of my alcohol addiction and drug abuse. And please, God, I beg for your forgiveness, and I pray that my wife forgive me as well." At that very moment, I felt a very peaceful sensation. The days following, I felt his presence in my life. I began to talk to God daily. I began to read the Bible and pray daily. I noticed a change in myself. I became a more caring and loving person. My family life is better today because of Christ. I look forward to going to church and worshiping and encouraging others. I know God is using me for times just like this. I know now that you don't have to hit rock bottom to find God. All you have to do is recognize you're a sinner, believe that Jesus died for you, and you will be born again and spend eternity with him. All you have to do is ask him to come into your life. You won't be sorry. John 3:16 says, "God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." I love my Lord and Savior and the relationship I have with him, and I'm so grateful for what the Lord has done in our lives. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, your life will be transformed. Mine was. And just for the record, I haven't used drugs or alcohol for 21 years. God is good.
Well, it's good to see you this morning as we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you have young children, it's great that they're with you. That's wonderful. But if you would like it sometime, there is a nursery back in the back corner back there. There's a room, a nursery room, and we have some nursery workers there if you would like to take advantage of that. And I know, young people, you're ready to seek treasure in eggs. And that's going to be after the service, and we're going to actually do that here in the barn. So all the little girls with their beautiful little dresses and white shoes won't become mud stained as the little boys run them over. So, but that won't happen. So that will be taking place afterwards here, because it is a day to celebrate. And Easter eggs are fun. We're here to celebrate our Lord and Savior together. Let's pray. Father, as we come before you this morning, may we be encouraged in your love and your grace. Lord, may we be challenged by your word. And may we recognize the incredible love that you have for each one of us as you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy in our lives each and every day, and the hope of eternal life that we can have in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we all love a good love story. Now, not necessarily watching Hallmark Christmas movie marathons, but even the least sentimental here enjoys a good love story. When we see that sacrificial love, when someone steps out of their comfort zone to demonstrate love to another person, whether it's in a marriage, whether it's in a family, whether it's in friendships, or whatever that situation, that relationship is. We love to see a good story of sacrificial love. Sacrificial love moves our hearts. And in John chapter 3, verse 16, we find the outline of the greatest love story ever told. It's the story of love of an all-powerful God who sacrificially loved each and every one of us. It is a love without conditions or limits, given to an undeserving and needy group of recipients. So let's jump into the story. We see that it's a love that's displayed in action. John 3:16 begins, "For God so loved the world that he gave," that sacrifice, the action of giving his son. Now, if you heard someone tell you that they loved someone else, maybe it's a young man that has a young lady that he's falling in love with, and he says, "Oh, I just love her." But you'll notice he never does anything for her. You'd begin to question that love, wouldn't you? And you'd say, you know, if you love her, it would affect the way that you treat her. It would affect the way that you live. It would affect your time. It would affect many things about you. God's love affected his action, in that he so loved the world that he gave his son, Jesus Christ. It was a sacrificial love. And God's love led him to give. And he gave. He gave us a gift we cannot earn. He gave his only begotten son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus Christ. Now, picture yourself going to a birthday party. I had the opportunity to go to a double birthday party yesterday. And as you go to the birthday party, and as people give the gifts to the person having the birthday, could you imagine if they said, "All right, now here's your gift. Now, if you'll come over to my house and work a couple hours, you can have it." That doesn't sound like much of a gift, does it? Sounds like a job. But it's interesting, as we see what Jesus Christ has done for us and the gift that he has offered to us, how do we respond? And many times we see people respond by attempting to earn the gift. But it is something that we cannot earn. It's a gift that God has freely given to us. In fact, it's a gift even if we wanted to earn. We could not earn it. Now, John chapter 3 is a story of a man named Nicodemus who came to see Jesus. Nicodemus was one of the religious leaders, and people there in that community looked up to Nicodemus as an incredible leader, as a religious man. But we see that Nicodemus, in all of his attempts to earn eternal life, would never meet the standard. Romans chapter 3 and verse 10 says that there is none righteous, no, not one. A little later on in chapter 3 and verse 23 of the book of Romans, we see that we all fall short of the glory of God. Nicodemus was spending his life trying to do good things, trying to follow the law in order to earn a relationship with God. But although God is a loving, merciful God, there is still a standard of perfection that is required for a relationship with God. A standard of perfection that none of us can have, that none of us can attain. We have no hope on our own, in our good works, of trying to do well, of trying to be better than our neighbor, whatever it would be, our standard we're trying to meet. We have no hope of eternal life without the gift of God. It's something we cannot earn. And as Nicodemus came to Jesus, he was saying, "What must I do to have eternal life?" And Jesus' response was not, "Well, go and follow the law." His response was not, "Go and do well to your neighbor." His response was that he needed to put his faith and trust in a God who loved him and was providing the sacrifice that Jesus himself was here to make. It's a gift that we cannot earn. But it's also an invitation with no exclusions. You see, John 3:16 goes on to say that whoever believes in him. I like that word, whoever. Have you ever had something take place, an event or an activity, and friends of yours were invited and you weren't? That can be painful, can't it? I remember in fifth grade, and it's amazing I can remember this. I never remembered anything I learned in school in fifth grade, but I remember what happened in fifth grade when my friend was invited to participate in an activity with a group of older students, and I wasn't. It was crushing. You know, I was upset at the older students. I was upset at my friend. I was upset at everyone because I was left out. But God's gift is for whoever. It's not based upon our social status. It's not based upon anything that we achieve. It's not based upon our bank account. It's not based upon our good deeds. It's not based upon what nation we grow up in or what neighborhood we live in. It's based upon the love of a God who loves each and every one of us. That whoever, no matter your status in life, no matter your job or lack of job, no matter your position in your family, no matter what, God's love and his gift is for you. You see, it's for whoever. But it's also, as we go on in John 3:16, we see that it's a trustworthy from someone, or a trust in someone that's trustworthy. Believes in him. Our trust is in Jesus Christ. We have all had times when we've trusted in someone who did not come through. Maybe it was a spouse, or a child, or a parent, or a friend, or a workmate, or a neighbor, and we've put our trust in them to fulfill whatever they said they were going to do, and they didn't quite make the grade. Now, it may have been that they tried, but they just couldn't do it, or maybe they didn't even try. But you say, why did I trust them? But the trust that we're speaking of this morning is a trust in someone who is trustworthy. It is trust in an all-faithful God. That whoever believes in him. You see, if I believe in my own ability to earn eternal life, I will fail miserably, just as each of you. But God's Son, Jesus Christ, that perfect sacrifice, worthy of our trust, is the one who has provided the gift of salvation. It is someone who is trustworthy. Now, can you imagine the disciples there on what we call Easter week? The week started with the triumphal entry, and they're seeing Jesus come into Jerusalem, and they're saying, this is great. The coronation's begun. But then all of a sudden, as things changed and people began to turn on Jesus, and those same ones that were shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, pretty soon started to chant, crucify him. And as they saw the week take place, as the Passover was taking place, and they were thinking about the incredible power of God, but then all of a sudden they saw Jesus tried and then arrested and then crucified. I'm sure, just like me, they would begin to wonder and doubt. Can you imagine his disciples and those years that they had given up everything else in order to follow this Jesus, and now he was being crucified? Was it putting trust in someone who wasn't trustworthy? Not at all. You see, it was an incredible plan of love that they just did not understand. Because Jesus Christ died for our sins, and then he rose again. But we also see the verse doesn't end, that whosoever believes in him. But now back to the Hallmark movies. They always have the happily ever after, don't they? Well, this story can have a happily ever after also. You see, it is an ending if we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. An ending of happily ever after, because the verse concludes that they should not perish, but have everlasting life. Girl and guy meet or re-meet in the Hallmark story, and they fall in love or back in love, and what? They live happily ever after. In fact, if you watch a Hallmark movie, usually within 1 or 2 minutes, you know the end of the story. In fact, you probably have a pretty good idea of the end of the story even before it begins. But you know, with the story of Jesus Christ and salvation that we can have in him, we know and can be confident in the end of the story. Because God has promised us eternal life if we pray and ask him to forgive our sins and to be our Savior. It's the greatest love story ever told. Because it's the story of an all-powerful God sending his son Jesus Christ to die on a cross to cover the cost of my sins, to cover the cost of your sins, to cover the cost of the sins of the world, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. What an incredible story. But he doesn't end there. In fact, you read the rest of the chapter, some more powerful things. The football game, you just see John 3:16, but you should read the whole chapter. It's pretty good. And in fact, in verse 17 of chapter 3, Jesus gives a little P.S., a little note from the giver. Because he says this, "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." His desire is to have relationship with you. He didn't come as a God who condemns, and unfortunately many times we think of God as some unattached, powerful being somewhere just waiting for us to mess up so he can zap us. No, he's a God who loves us, who is holy, but a God who loves us so much, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. He gave the ultimate sacrifice because he desires to have relationship with you. He desires to have relationship with me. But there's only one part of the whole story that belongs to us. It's our responsibility. And that is the responsibility of accepting the gift that he has offered. So in just a minute, I'm going to have a word of prayer. But after that, we're going to have some music and some singing. But I want to challenge you, if there's never been a time in your life when you've prayed and asked Jesus Christ to forgive your sins and to be your Savior, we're going to have some people that will be coming up here that would love to share with you more about the greatest love story ever told. And so we will invite you to come. But I want you to think, because each one of us here this morning has our own story. We each have our own background, our own journey in life. You know, you may be here and you've never really considered a relationship with God. You may be here and you may think that you're not worthy of God's love. Maybe you think, "I've done things that are too bad for God to love you." Well, that's where that word "whoever" comes in. whoever, no matter where you are in life, no matter what your background, God desires to have relationship with you. Maybe you've been here and you've been trusting your good works. You're a good person. You try to do right. And that's what you're trusting to give relationship with God. I'm glad you try to do well. I try to do well too, but not one of us can meet God's standard through our works. Maybe you're here this morning and you're just hurting. In fact, you're hurting to an extent that it's really hard to see God's love. In the midst of your hurt, you wonder, does God really love me? Or can God really love me? But I want to encourage you that an almighty God loves you more than you can ever imagine. And he desires to have relationship with you. He wants to forgive your sins, to be your Savior, and to give you eternal life. And the Easter story is an amazing story. We see it beginning at Christmas, but it actually began near the beginning when man chose to disobey God and there needed to be a covering for sin. And God planned to send his Son to take on human flesh to come to this world. And he did that. We celebrate it at Christmas time. But you see, Jesus Christ was born to die for our sins, and he lived a life, and he taught, and he gave great moral lessons. But the primary purpose that Jesus Christ came to this earth was to die for us. And as we celebrate Good Friday, it's a celebration of that sacrifice. But it did not end on Friday. Because as the famous old evangelist said, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Because God gave victory over sin through the crucifixion of Christ, but the resurrection demonstrates his victory over death. And victory over death that he wants for each and every one of us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. An amazing gift of love from an amazing God who desires to have relationship with you. Let's pray. Father, we're amazed at your goodness. We're amazed at your sacrifice of sending your Son. And Lord, as we celebrate Easter and as we celebrate the crucifixion and the resurrection, may we recognize the incredible love that you have for us. And Lord, for those here this morning that may have never come to a time in their life when they've prayed and asked you to forgive their sins and to be your Savior, Lord, I pray that you would give them the courage in just a moment to step out and to come and to meet with someone and to find out how they can have eternal life. And for each one of us this morning, help us to recognize your love and live in response to the amazing love that you have for each one of us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So in just a moment, Karina is going to play. And then shortly after that, our worship team is going to lead in song. But I'd like to ask you to stand. And as you stand, I want to encourage you, if you've never come to a time in your life when you have prayed and asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior, I want you to come forward. There's going to be some people coming to the front who would like to share with you how you can know you have eternal life and how you can accept God's gift of salvation. So let's worship God together. And if you need to come and speak to someone, to pray with someone, we're here for you. We want to encourage you to make that decision today.
Thank you.
So as we sing, if you would like to come, we'd love to share with you, and let's sing God's praise.
Nothing can stand against.
worthy to receive all honor and glory and praise. We worship you, Jesus. What a beautiful name he is.
You may be seated.
What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, Father. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus.
To celebrate Easter, and Easter is a time of surprise. And so some of you have maybe noticed the black balloons, and as we think of Easter week and those people there at that first Easter, their life was turned upside down, the followers of Jesus Christ. Here was the one that they had followed, that they had given themselves to following. He was their rabbi, he was their leader, he was their savior, and all of a sudden, now he was tried and arrested and then tried and then crucified. But there was a surprise. And so what seemed like some incredibly dark times were all part of God's amazing plan. Why? Because God had a surprise. And you see, those disciples and those followers of Jesus had spread and ran because they feared for their own lives, is following this one who is now dead, and there was no hope. That was Friday. And then came for the Jews the Sabbath, but then came Sunday. And as Sunday came, and as those ladies and then Peter and John went to the tomb, they found a surprise. It was an incredible surprise because the tomb was empty. Why? Because he is risen.
All right, let's stand back and sing that our Redeemer lives. Let's stand.